Hello, this is John, and I'm going to read the editorial. A long time ago, when the world was young, BBC Radio developed an odd approach to the future of the English language. They appointed Stephen Hurst, an Austrian, as the controller of Radio 3, Martin Eslin, a Hungarian, as head of Radio Drama, and George Fischer, also a Hungarian emigre and rumoured to have been a professional basketball player, as the head of Radio Talks and Documentaries. All three were formidable intellects and possessed great talent. But for this troika, English was the second language, and its destiny was being placed firmly in their hands. In fact, when Eslin arrived at the BBC, he couldn't speak much English at all. But he directed spoken drama, which he did mostly through grunts. Sybil Thorndike is said to have described it as the best direction she ever had. I had contact with all of them, but mostly with George Fisher, who was head of my department, created the programme Analysis, developed Kaleidoscope, and guided the beginning of my career. And George had a watchword which he loved to bring up at every opportunity. The most important thing, Christopher, is rigour. Everything you do must be done with rigour. He would go on and on about it. And he was right. It is attention to detail. The blood, sweat and tears of research and getting it as right as humanly possible that creates great written or spoken work. Without rigour, you become mediocre and bland, and nowadays would probably make a world-famous influencer. Now, those of you who are alert may notice that the next item in this magazine is On the Plot, a new piece written by Linda Parkin. Linda has always understood rigour. Her writing is precise, well-organised, thoughtful, spell-checked, well-laid-out and almost impossible to edit. I always heave a sigh of relief as it arrives, because it will require no work on my part. I can just cut and paste it, and there it suddenly is. I'm not going to spare her blushes. Hers is great writing. And sadly, this may be the last time you read her prose. My own blushes are profuse, as it arrived in time for October, and for some reason the internet decided to immediately delete it. Linda was rightly distraught when it didn't appear, as she says it will be the last time she writes for us. She worried that I hadn't included it for some terrible editorial reason. I hope by highlighting it now it cheers her up. She has told me before that she is going to stop writing for the Bulletin. But I hope as spring recharges us all, she might just reconsider. It is a great gift to the village that some of its residents choose to write and send me copy about their passions and their lives, all for love of the magazine rather than for pecuniary advantage, as all work is done for free. And good writing takes time, is not easy, and I am very, very grateful the villagers do. In other news, I have had COVID. And it was extremely unpleasant. Nothing got done, and I caught it before the obviously too late decision to vaccinate me. I did watch a lot of cricket, though, and was fabulously bad-tempered, but I have now recovered enough to make sure this November issue was actually created. I hope you enjoy at least some of it. Oh, and you could spend a lot of the coming month at the various fears and knees up that this time of year brings us, to take our minds off the approaching darkness and cold that makes up our winter, normally. My money is on sunbathing on Sunnyside in February. Thank you, climate change.